I have seen many parents, and when they have the opportunity to teach their kids, they will always take the opportunity. Even when I was a kid, I remember we walked past a beggar or a homeless person who begged for money, and then my parents would take the opportunity to teach me, and then ask, do you know why those homeless people are homeless? Why they are begging money? And would also ask, do you want to be like them in the future? Of course I would say, no, I don't want to be a homeless person. I don't want to be a beggar. It's a horrible thing to become a homeless person or to become a beggar. And then my parents would say, you know what? Then you should study hard. And then you should be diligent in what you do. Because the reason why they are begging for money or they are homeless is because they did not study hard, they were not diligent, and they were very lazy. So do not be lazy. Have your parents taught you a lesson like that before, especially after you have passed homeless people? Okay, I know some of you will go to the short-term mission trip in Taiwan. I advise you not to do that when you see homeless people in Taiwan, and then just try to teach each other a lesson. And then what if the homeless person hears it? I mean, imagine you are actually the homeless person. How would you feel? Do you know that even Jesus' disciples had similar thoughts? Isn't that shocking? Even Jesus' disciples had a thought when they saw a blind man. Their immediate response was, why did this person, become a blind man? According to John chapter 9, verse 1, it says that as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Their immediate response was, what did this man do wrong in his life that caused him to be blind? Because it was very natural for people in the Jewish culture, even in our culture, when people are in misfortune, they usually think that person must have done something wrong to receive a punishment from God. When we see people in misfortune, that's our very natural immediate response to ask why. And we can also very simply, very easily judge people by immediately associating their misfortune with something that they have done in the past that was wrong. We have the concept that if you do right, you will have good results. If you do wrong, you will end up in misery. That's what we think. But what if you were the blind man? How would you feel if you were the blind man? You were begging for money, your life is miserable, and suppose you're even blind, and suddenly someone comes and then say, this person must have sinned in his life, and then just walk away. You feel like life is so unfair. I'm already blind. Why do you still judge me that I have done something wrong to result in my blindness? These people are so cruel. This world is so cruel, so cold. And suppose you are the person who actually later on come back and share the gospel with the blind man or the beggar. How would the beggar respond or the homeless person respond? In their mind, you think, if you believe in a God that makes you so cruel, I will never believe in your God. So that's why when we are going to share the gospel with people, make sure we are not just sharing the gospel with our words, but also with our loving action. Okay? So we don't want to be people like that in our lives. And we don't want to be the person like the homeless person or the beggar. And I will show you that there are other causes of suffering besides sin. And in order that we'll not automatically judge people when we see people in misfortune, and we'll say, that person has sinned, that person has done something stupid, that's why it ends up in such misery. God does not want us to do such judgment on people. Especially, there are complicated causes of suffering in this life. Sin is just one cause of that. But how can we respond to the sufferer, the person in suffering, in a way that would glorify God, maybe even help us to share the gospel with the person in suffering? Let's look at Job chapter 1 verse 6. If you have the Bible, you can open to it or just look at the screen. One day the angels, this is a very interesting passage. It talks about angels, Satan, and God. God was having a conversation with Satan. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." See, the angels went to see God to report what they have done for God, because they were servants of God. So God sent them to do things for his eternal plan. But why was Satan also there? Satan was the first fallen angel. Although he sinned, he disobeyed God, he was so proud, he wanted to be even better than God. That's why God sent him to earth. But he still had access to heaven. He still has access to heaven. God will still see him even now in heaven. But it doesn't mean that he will be in heaven forever, because hell, you know, is where he will be forever, finally. But what was he doing, Satan? God asked, from roaming through the earth, going and back and forth in it. It also applies to now. Do you know what Satan is doing now? From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. What was Satan doing? He was walking around. Is it too cold? Turn off the cold air. Now it's better. So Satan was walking around, looking around to see if there's anyone he can control, dominate, and then become his slave. That's what Satan does. Actually, he's still doing it today. We often use our eyes to see things that we can see and touch. But there's another world that's as realistic as what we can see, the spiritual world. Satan is always doing his work. Satan is very hardworking and diligent, more diligent and hardworking than most of us. But he was always trying to find someone to control, so that person will go with him wherever he ends up with. And we know that's hell. But Satan couldn't do anything to hurt God. So he works hard to hurt the people God loves. He wants to hurt God, he could not, but he knows God loves human beings. So he tried to hurt God indirectly by hurting human beings. And one of the consequences of such a spiritual battle between Satan and God is suffering in human lives. It is just like what the terrorists do. You all know terrorists, they just throw bombs at people. Some of them even die, you know, together while they are doing suicide bombing. And some of them would just hold hostage. Okay? And then try to threaten the US government. They want to get something from the US government. They are not powerful enough to get it with their military power. So they will try to hold hostage of an innocent, powerless citizen of the United States, and then threaten the United States to give what they demand, what they want. That's what Satan does. I believe these people are controlled by Satan, influenced by Satan. That's why they are doing those things, to hurt people. Our ancestors, Adam and Eve, chose not to obey God. So they fell into the influence of Satan's evil power too. In the end, as a result, there was sin. So the cause of sin is disobedience to God. That's why when we were reading Psalm 119, it's so important that we follow what we just read to obey God's word, so that we will not be controlled by Satan in our lives. According to 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, it says that, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around, walks around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, to eat." And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says that, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Ruler of the kingdom of the air, it's talking about Satan, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. If you disobey God's word, you will automatically get into the influence and control of Satan's power. So be careful. Whatever you learn from the Bible, obey it, or otherwise you will become Satan's slaves. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? My servant Job, have you considered him? I know you are roaming around on earth, looking for someone that you can control. Have you thought about my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. The Lord spoke of Job very honorably by giving him the title, my servant. He called him my servant, and he said that there's no one on earth like him. He is the supreme example of godliness. If you want to learn what following God, obeying God is like to be godly, look at Job's life. He says that he is blameless, he is upright, he fears God, and he shuns evil. I know one way to not to be controlled by Satan. That is to obey God's word. Why God asked Satan to consider Job? Because Job was always obeying God's commands, following God perfectly, and Satan had no control over him. That's why God said, Satan, have you considered Job? He follows me perfectly. He obeys me. You cannot control him. Although we are very powerful, you can control many people, but only those people who don't obey God, you can control them. So what we can learn from here is that Satan's power is only on those people who don't obey God. But if you obey God, Satan can do nothing to control you, but he can still hurt you though. But not permanently. He might hurt your body, but he cannot hurt your spirit, because God would protect your spirit and you will have eternal life if you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's go on to look at this interesting conversation. Satan simply won't give up. Job chapter 1 verse 9. Does Job fear God for nothing? I don't think so. Satan replied, have you not put a hedge or protection around him and his household and everything he has? See, you have blessed him. You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. He was so rich, so wealthy, so blessed. But if you stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to the face. He is challenging God. Satan always tried to do things beyond his capacity. He didn't even know what he was doing. In some way, he was testing God. Satan could not debate with God that Job was godly. He knew that was true. But he started by attacking Job's motives. Why he was so godly? He doubted that the reason why Job feared God was because he was blessed. In other words, Job worshipped God, praised God, followed God because of the benefits of worshipping God, praising God. This is actually an attack to God, because he was saying that, God, you are using the wealth to attract people to worship you. See, these people don't really worship you as who you are. You're not really that good. And that's why God would let Satan to cause him suffering later. To prove that Job could still praise God, even Satan took away all the blessings in his life, and also through the process, God knew that would make Job even stronger in faith, have deeper faith and insight about worship and praise. I think Satan actually asked a very interesting question we should all consider. Are you worshiping God because you think if you worship God, you'll be blessed with all the physical things you can see, of course, eternal blessing in heaven? What if God removes all the blessing in your life? Would you still bless God? Would you still praise God and worship God? Think about that. If you still do, you know what? You can bring glory to God and you will shut Satan up. See, Satan will have no more words to defy God when he sees someone in suffering and yet still praising God. So here it's not just about suffering, it's about the true purpose of worship. It is not for the blessings that we can get through our worship, but to see who God is, and we are willing to worship God no matter what, because of his goodness. Thirdly, God allows Satan to cause suffering in godly people, as I just told you, to shut up Satan and to deepen the spiritual insight of godly people. God is worthy of praise and worship, even if people don't get health, wealth, and happiness. The prosperity gospel, if you believe in God, trust Jesus as your personal savior, you'll become healthy, wealthy, and happy. But if you do that, what if the happiness is not there? The wealth is not there. The health is not there. You stop worshiping God. And then you have fallen into Satan's scheme. Accusation. His accusation will become true. See, when you don't get blessed, you will not worship God. Satan is the ultimate cause of suffering. We sometimes guess why that person is suffering. He might have done something wrong. Yes. Sin can be a cause of suffering, especially if you do something stupid. You know there are consequences. If you put your hand on a burning fire, it will be burned. Okay? You cannot blame God for that, the suffering you caused that by yourself because of your stupidity. But there are other causes of suffering. Even if you do everything right like Job did, Satan tried to attack Job because he was so godly. And yet, if he was truly godly and truly worshiping God, even suffering cannot take away his praise and worship for God. Why don't God just put away Satan now? In hell. Now, okay? Stop all the suffering, stop all the pain. People always complain about the suffering and the pain in this world. Can't God put Satan away now? Of course God can, but why isn't God doing it now? Have you thought about that? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 tells us why. It says that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Some people think God is procrastinating, that's not good, causing us all the sufferings, I don't like it. But it says that he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Do you realize that? If God comes to judge the world, none of us can stand before God because we are all no good before God. Of course, by God's grace through Jesus Christ, death and resurrection on the cross for us, God will see us as sinless people and will not judge us. But how about many, many other people? Do you know how many people have not heard of the gospel? Immediately, if God comes, those people will go to hell. If they have not heard the gospel, they do not believe in Jesus Christ as their personal savior. God is so loving, and he does not want to just keep eternal life to those people who have believed in him. He wants everyone to have the chance to listen to the gospel and to believe Jesus Christ as their personal savior. And that's why God is so patient with Satan. Besides through the suffering as Job went through, we would learn to be stronger in our faith, to mature in our faith. Just like gold, when it comes out from the mine through the burning fire, you can purify the gold. Our faith can be purified by suffering. That's why God allows suffering to happen. Let me share with you a touching testimony that will wrap up what we just learned about suffering, the reason of suffering, and how we can respond properly to those who are suffering. It's a testimony about giving thanks, praising, and worshiping God even in the greatest suffering and loss by Tony Dungy. Who is it, Dungy? Right? Have you heard of him? Anybody watches NFL? Last year, he is the head coach of the team that won last year in NFL. It's a greater success than LSU winning the national championship. Okay, NFL is one step higher. So, Tony Dungy is a former professional American football player, and he's the current head coach of the Indianapolis, right? Okay, a coach of the National Football League, NFL. Prior to that, between 1996 and 2001, he was the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? Buccaneers, okay. I never watched football. So he became the first African-American head coach to win the Super Bowl when his Colts, that's the name of the team, defeated the Chicago Bears on February 4th, 2007, last year, okay? And on January 23rd, 2007, after winning the NFL, he had a breakfast conference and to share some of what he learned in his life about his faith. And after he led his team to win the NFL, he was interviewed by some reporters. And when he was asked how great it was to be one of the first African-American head coaches to take his team to a Super Bowl, he responded by saying this, "Yes, that's good. But what's really great and awesome is how God worked this out for us. It's just amazing how he made this all come together. It was God who made all these come together." If you know what happened to him just before that, you know it was God's power to help him to win NFL. It's because his son just died 7 days before the NFL. And he shared some of his lessons, the lessons he learned from his three sons. He had three sons. One of them died in December 2006. His middle son, Eric. He said, "My son Eric shares my competitiveness in sports, but probably he's too focused on sports. That might be a problem. Okay, he likes sports so much, he's so focused." And then he spoke of his youngest son, Jordan. He has a very rare disease. When he was born, he already had that disease. He could not feel any pain, okay, in his life. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a bad thing not to have pain. So it's a good thing to have pain, huh? Okay, and he feels things, but he doesn't get the sensation of pain. And Dungy said, the lessons learned from Jordan, Dungy said, are many. Actually, not being able to feel pain sounds good at the beginning, but I promise you, it is not good. Dungy said, we've learned a lot about pain in the next 5 years with Pat Jordan. We've learned some hurts are really necessary for kids. Pain is necessary for kids to find out the difference between what is good and what is harmful. If you cannot feel pain, you don't know what is harmful to you. Jordan, Dungy said, he loves cookies. Who do you love cookies here? Anybody loves cookies? I love cookies, okay? And Jordan loves cookies very much. Cookies are good. Dungy said, but in Jordan's mind, if they are good out on the plate, they must be better in the oven. Okay, so he will go right in the oven when his mom was still cooking. He will reach in, take the red out, take the pan out, and burn his hands and eat the cookies and burn his tongue and never feel the pain. Okay? And he doesn't know that was bad for him. So Jordan, Dundee said, he has no fear of anything. So we constantly have to watch him so that he will not hurt himself, although he will not feel any pain. So the lesson learned, Dundee said, is very simple. You get the question all the time. Why does the Lord allow pain in your life? Why do bad things happen to good people? If God is a God of love, why does he allow these hurtful things to happen? Dundee said, we've learned that a lot of times because of that pain, that little temporary pain, you learn what is harmful. You learn to fear the right things. Pain sometimes lets us know we have a condition that needs to be healed. Pain inside sometimes lets us know that spiritually we are not quite right. And we need to be healed, and that God will send that healing agent right to the spot through Jesus Christ. Sometimes, pain is the only way that we will turn us as kids back to the Father. After 9/11, do you know the churches that used to have nobody coming or just a few people coming were flocked full of people? See, pain stimulates people to think about life and to think about God. That's why God allows pain in our lives. Finally, he spoke of James, the son he died. James, his oldest son, died 3 days before Christmas. It was tough, he said. It was very, very painful. But as painful as it was, there were some good things that came out of it. He learned something. He appreciated some good things out of his son's death. That's amazing. And Dundee spoke at the funeral of regretting not hugging James the next time he saw him. And that day, James died. In that morning, Dundee had a chance to hug his son, but he did not. And then his son died. He regretted that. And he shared that in the funeral of his son. And then there was a guy the next day, after the funeral, he said to Dundee, he said, you know what, Dundee? I was there in the funeral. I heard you talking. I took off work today. Today I decided not to work. I called my son. I told my son I was taking him to the movies. We are going to spend some time and go to dinner. That was a real, real blessing to me. See, what was a suffering, painful experience for Dundee brought blessing to those people who went to the funeral. When they realized that we cannot take a life for granted. Life can be taken away from by God anytime. So when you see your dad, hug your dad, say I love you, dad. And if you are a mom or a dad, hug your son or your daughter, okay, every day, and try to give your best to your son or daughter, because today might be the last day. That changed the perspective of many parents who went to the funeral and made them more loving parents. And since then, Dundee said he received many, many letters sharing similar messages. People would say, hey, you brought me a little closer to my sons. You brought me a little closer to my daughter. And Dundee said, that is a tremendous blessing. That is a blessing. Despite the pain I went through when I lost my son. Dundee also said that some of James' organs were donated through donors program. We got a letter back 2 weeks ago that two people had received his corneas in the eye, and now they can see. Dundee said, that's been a tremendous blessing. Yeah, you have already heard that tremendous blessing a couple of times. And Dundee also said he received a letter from a girl from the family's church in Tampa. Dundee's family used to go to a church in Tampa, and there was a little girl who had known James, the dead son, for many years, and she also went to the funeral because she knew James. And this girl said, when I saw what happened at the funeral and your family and the celebration, of such a painful event and how it was handled, that was the first time I realized that there had to be a God. Dundee said, the girl wrote, I accepted Christ into my life and my life's been different since that day in the funeral because of how you handled your son's death. And added Dundee, that was an awesome blessing. So all of those things kind of made me realize what God's love is all about. It gave him a deeper understanding of God's love, even through suffering. And Dundee also said he was asked often how he was able to return to the coast so quickly. 7 days after his son's death, his son died on December 22nd, and then 7 days after that, immediately he returned to his team to lead his team in NFL, and then finally won. And Dundee said the answer was simple. People ask me, how did you recover so quickly? Dundee said, I'm not totally recovered. I don't know that I ever will be. It's still very, very painful. But I was able to come back because of something one of my good Christian friends said to me after the funeral. While he was blessing other people, he has a Christian friend who said something that also helped him. What he said? He said, you know, James accepted Christ into his heart. So you know he's in heaven, right? I said, right, I know that. He said, so with all you know about heaven, if you had the power to bring him back now, would you? You know heaven is better than here, right? And you have the power to bring him back from heaven to earth, would you do that? When Dundee thought about that, he said, no, I wouldn't. I would not want him back with what I know about heaven and what I know about earth. So that's what helped me through the grieving process. Because of Christ's spirit in me, I had that confidence that James is there at peace with the Lord, and I have the peace of mind in the midst of something that's very, very painful. That's my prayer today, that everyone in this room would know the same thing. Let me go back to John chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. I mentioned that even Jesus' disciples, when they saw a blind man, they immediately asked, why was this man born blind? Is it because he sinned or his parents sinned that caused him to be punished like this? Do you know what Jesus said? He said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Here it's not saying that that blind man was not a sinner. It's really saying that that man's blindness was not caused by a specific sin that caused him to be blind, but he was still a sinner. But we should not associate a specific suffering in someone's life with a specific sin that that person committed. And Jesus said the purpose was to bring glory to God. And Jesus said, as long as it is day, at that time he was not crucified yet. For him, time was running short. He said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. He had limited time during his first coming on earth. And he reminded that night is coming when no one can work. This can be applied to our life. We don't know when Jesus will come back again. According to the Bible, it's like a thief in the night. It can be tonight. Jesus will come back and then suddenly you will be raptured. You will be in heaven. You have no more chance to help people to know Jesus, to believe Jesus as their personal savior and be saved. And they will go through huge suffering during the great tribulation. If you have a chance to come to the youth group or a college Bible study, I'll show you the second episode of a series of movies called Thief in the Night. It talks about what happens when Jesus comes back the second time to believers and those who don't believe. suffering is something we don't really like. And yet, suffering in God's hands can do great things in our lives. And Jesus' suffering on the cross to Satan seemed to be a failure for God, a success for him. Satan was always looking for opportunities to hurt the people that God loves. But he was never able to hurt God himself. And now, for some reason that he did not understand, suddenly God became a man on earth, vulnerable, can feel pain, can feel suffering, can even be put to death. Satan thought, now I have my chance to revenge. I have my chance to kill God. That was what he thought. And yet, what seemed to be a great success for Satan turned out to be the greatest failure for him and the greatest success for God and all mankind, because Jesus, although he did not have to die for us, he chose to die for us because he obeyed God the Father, although he is equal with God the Father, in order that through his sinless life, he was willing to sacrifice his life for our sins' punishment. Whoever is willing to accept Jesus as his personal or her personal savior will be saved. And they will no longer live under the control of Satan. Satan used death to scare people. One of the things, probably the greatest fear of every human being, is death. In mainland China, when I was a kid, I was scared when I saw dead people. Okay? It was a very scary image in my mind. If you say you're fearless, think about it. You probably are in fear of death. But if you truly have trusted Jesus as your personal savior, even death cannot hurt you. Because after this physical death, you will have eternal life with God. So that's why when we face suffering, even death, do not be afraid. For Jesus, he suffered himself. Jesus even died, suffered to the point of death. So he triumphed over death. And we don't need to be afraid. And he has already delivered us from Satan's power and control when he died and was resurrected for our sins' punishment. And that we have trusted Jesus as our personal savior. So if we praise and worship God, even in suffering, not because of our sins, if you're suffering because of your sins, repent to God and say, sorry God, forgive me. But if you know you have not sinned and you are suffering, then you should praise and worship God, because God is going to do wonderful things in your life through the suffering that you're going through. And to the sufferers, we should not judge them, see, you have done something wrong. Because you never know. That person might not have done any specific wrong thing. And yet Satan was attacking him. And God allowed that to happen in order that God be glorified. That person can become stronger in faith. I thought about the Korean sister whose daughter who passed away. On January 24th, a 6-year-old daughter passed away in a car accident. And there was another daughter there who was also badly hurt and injured, and she was also injured. What can we do? Some people might even think, what did she do? What did the family do wrong that they would be punished like that? Never should we do that. When they are in suffering, I believe they are very dedicated Christians. Through their life, even in such suffering, I believe God will bring glory to himself when first they will experience God's comfort and strength to help them even through this most terrible time in their life. And for us, it's a chance for us to share God's love with them. They are already believers. But this is the time to let them know that God is present through us. We as Christians, we don't just talk about love. This is the time that we can actually share the love with our hurting sister and the family. That's why Deacon Ninian, starting from this Sunday today, would collect love offering for the family. And there is a memorial fund already set up for the 6-year-old daughter who passed away. And although some of the expenses were covered by insurance, being hospitalized, they were expenses that were not covered by insurance. And if we give a love offering, it will help to alleviate, lighten the burden, the financial burden. And I also spent some time to buy a card for the family. I would like to pass this around, and you can just sign your name there. I spent some time choosing it, and it says that there's no way to fully understand the pain you're going through or how deeply you hurt right now. But there's one certain thing in all this. One thing more powerful than the sadness you feel, God's love is here. And God's love through us, loving, reaching out to the hurting one, to surround you, to strengthen you, to carry you. His love will pierce the darkest hour you walk through to bring hope, comfort, and rest to your soul. And I'm praying for you at your heart, as your heart heals. And here is a Bible verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 39. That was actually in one of the songs that we just sang. Neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, I think we will sing this song later, right? Probably the response song. Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, even suffering and death, can separate us from the love of a God, of our God that's in Jesus Christ. And God wants us to show this love of His through us. So let us not just sit here, just listen, but also take some action to share God's love with people, either believers or non-believers, to bring glory to God. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word that has revealed mysteries in the spiritual realm that we don't see with our eyes, and yet they are as realistic as what we see, things that happen that we can see with our eyes. I thank you that you have set such a wonderful example in Job's life, that we can follow his example as well when we are in suffering, because Satan attacks us, and Satan wants to even test God to show that we cannot worship and praise God when there's no blessing. But God, give us the strong faith that Job had, that even in great suffering, even facing death, we can still praise and worship you, and that will shut Satan up, and we can glorify you, and let us learn how to reach out to those who are hurting in this world that's becoming more evil. There more and more suffering that Satan is putting on people. That's why we are here. That's why, God, you have not come back yet. It is still day, but night would come anytime. Help us to realize that you can come back anytime, and we should be alert, and we should stand firm in our faith, and then we take every opportunity to reach out to this hurting world. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.